So how do you know that you live in South Carolina?
Watch.
When there's a two-hour delay on everything and it all shuts down at the chance of snow. We didn't have any snow.
It was a beautiful day.
It was a glorious day. A little bit of a wind chill. Nothing to put on your parka about.
Speak for yourself.
This is not an overreaction podcast. Welcome to Cinema Chop Shop. This is a podcast where we concede that remakes are going to happen, so why shouldn't movie buffs
like us
decide who is recasting those iconic roles? My name is
Trav Some Note.
Oh, yes.
AKA Silence of the Travs.
Yep. And I'm joined, as always, here in the shop by my co-host and co-producer, Pris Shawners, AKA Sean Baby Sean. In addition, we are extremely excited to welcome to the show returning guest Cellular, AKA Changeling Chelsea. It was a stretch.
No.
It's okay.
I'm into it.
Further description of the show, the tagline at the top says, watch, chop, retrofit, because essentially that's what we do here. We watch older movies, sometimes classic films with iconic actors, and then we retrofit them by tweaking the design with new parts. And quick disclaimer, we're not actually in favor of remake, reboot, sequel culture. This is more of an exercise in satire and irony. We try to be funny.
And sometimes, just now, you succeed.
And this is the point in the show where I'm going to start and continue to ask our guests a question. Each time, I'm going to ask them, what is one example of a good remake that you can point to? And I'll give you my example first. The Jeff Bridges Coen Brothers remake of True Grit was a good example of a good remake.
I just Googled this.
Oh, yeah.
When you asked me. And it's only because I saw it recently for the first time. I'm going with The Fly.
Oh, yeah. That is actually really good.
Good pick.
Yes. Sean?
Just off the top of my head, I think you could count The Magnificent Seven as a good remake of The Seven Samurai.
Okay, so the original Magnificent Seven as a remake of the Kurosawa movie, The Seven Samurai.
Not saying it's better, just a good
remake. For a split second, I thought you were going to talk about that new Magnificent Seven movie that they made.
No, that was bad.
All right, so at this point, we'll go ahead and move it along to our first segment, which is where we try very hard throughout the week. We put forth due diligence in paying attention to stories that are related to our show. Stories that deal with movies, stories that deal with remakes and sequels, and anything that we think our audience might find interesting. And this week is a little bit of a light week. There was a lot of other stuff going on. But we are going to start it off with an RIP. Rest in Powwow. That tequila shot is kicking in. Rest in peace and power to Kelly Nakahara. And where do we know her from, Sean?
Most people would know her as Nurse Kelly Yamamoto from the television series MASH.
So they just changed her last name?
Yes.
And to a different Asian last name.
And her nationality. I think she was Hawaiian. But her film credits include the Eddie Murphy, Dr. Doolittle, and Clue. She was in Clue as the...
I like Clue.
I think she worked in the kitchen, maybe. And she's dead at 72 from cancer. Mm.
Too bad.
Alan Alda posted a really sweet tweet about her. He wrote an episode specifically for her character because she started out as a background character and gradually progressed. And
whenever you sent me this link and you said she was in Dr. Doolittle, I automatically assumed it was the old school Disney one, but she would have been too young.
Yeah.
All right. So next, this isn't even really movie news, but there's a deep fake video of Robert Downey Jr. and Tom Holland and Thomas Holland in Back to the Future, and it is uncanny.
It's creepy.
It's a really good recast, I think.
I agree that it's a great recast.
And you said you just saw a new one, right?
Yeah, I saw a deep fake that has Neo taking the blue pill in The Matrix, and he wakes up in Office Space.
Awesome.
As the main character.
And, love Mike Judge.
Oh, man. And so they play through the whole thing, and it's crazy how seamless this deep fake face swap thing happens mm-hmm. now. It's really a portent of what's to come.
I think it's scary.
Yeah. I think it's terrifying.
We're just going to skip over the uncanny valley and go straight into deep fakes.
Yep.
So next up, Martin Scorsese says that his next film is going to be the adaptation of Killers of the Flower Moon, which deals heavily with the plight of the Native Americans. But at the same time, the two leads in the movie are going to be who?
Oh, well, it's going to be DiCaprio and De Niro.
His two crutches.
Yes, two crutches.
So
they obviously are not playing Native American.
No, I would hope not.
And the Native American roles will be played by Native Americans. But why not cast a character as the lead who is actually part of that, you know, part of that struggle? Rumors. There's a rumor that Sony is considering a Mysterio solo film starring Jake Gyllenhaal. And this comes on the heels of the much publicized split between Sony and Marvel over Spider-Man, right?
Yeah.
And so they're trying to tap into whatever creative property they still have over at Sony.
Exactly. Milk it.
Yes. And that will finish us up on movie news for this week, right? Did you have anything else?
No, I don't think so.
Anything you heard about, Chelsea?
No, I didn't hear anything.
You didn't hear a thing. So, except right now we hear the phone is ringing. So that means that it's time for the Department of Corrections Department with Chief Corrections Officer Dana.
Hey, that's mine!
Oh, hello, Choppers. James MacArthur was the actor in The Truth About Spring, who was also in Swiss Family Robinson. The actor who played Boner on Growing Pains, Andrew Koenig, who was the son of Star Trek's Walter Koenig, is no longer with us. He committed suicide in 2010. R.I.P. Boner. Macaulay Culkin's cover band was the Pizza Underground. They did pizza-themed covers of Velvet Underground tunes. The Pizza Tapes was a Jerry Garcia et al. Album. The Pizza Underground did release some music on cassette, though. I guess that technically makes it a pizza tape. Side note regarding Risky Business and Ferris Bueller's Day Off. My coworker felt Risky Business was a better version of Ferris Bueller's Day Off, which is interesting considering Risky Business came out 3 years earlier. Until next time,
will you stop touching me? Mom!
All right. Thank you, Dana, for that. It sounds like you might actually be having your own sort of sibling rivalry going on. And might I add, that was a real boner killer edition of Department of Corrections, on which we will close the doors. All right. So that means that it's time for the theme of the episode. As though you couldn't tell from our amazing kidnapping-themed nicknames at the top of the show, we're going to be talking about kidnapping movies. And the reason for that is because on the date that this episode drops, it is the anniversary of February 23rd, 1974, when the Symbionese, which sounds made up, the Symbionese Liberation Army demanded $4 million or more to release kidnapped victim Patty Hearst. And she was the heiress to the Hearst publishing dynasty. They kidnapped her from Berkeley, University of Southern California, Berkeley. And very quickly, she became one of the more glaring examples of Stockholm Syndrome. So what do you guys think about this in general? Have you read anything about it? I read a little bit today.
I heard about it, you know, in the background growing up. But
so the SLA were a radical left-wing terrorist organization. I think it's fair to say that. They murdered people and they robbed banks and kidnapped people. That's terrorism. And the way that they demanded the ransom was in a food distribution. They wanted two of their comrades in prison to be released, and that wasn't going to happen. So then they were like, okay, well, we want four
up to $400 million. It was a very flux situation. And we want it in food distribution. And eventually, 100,000 bags of food were distributed in 16 sites in multiple countries. And that was part of the ransom that was paid for Patty Hearst. She eventually goes on trial for the crimes that she committed with them. And guess who her lawyer was?
F. Lee Bailey.
F. Lee Bailey, yes. F. Lee Bailey was one of her attorneys. First, they argued involuntary intoxication. They argued brainwashing. And eventually, she was found guilty and sentenced to 7 years. But her sentence was commuted by President Jimmy Carter. And then later, she was pardoned by President Bill Clinton. So, considering all of that, we are going to talk about kidnapping movies. It's a
and there's those, a lot of them.
There's a ton. It goes way back. I've seen parts of a movie from 1953 and a 1965 movie dealing with kidnapping. I'm sure. And I'm sure there's way earlier for the references. Back than that.
Yeah.
It's a trope that is a very real situation in real life. It happens. Yeah. And so why wouldn't it be exploited in film?
I mean, Morgan Freeman made a lot of money on kidnapping movies.
Yeah, that was the trivia question last week. Yep. Nice.
But even outside of that character, he was in other films where he was involved in kidnapping movies. So.
Oh, Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves. With that, we're going to go ahead and go into our next segment, which is the Midnight Double Feature. And this is where we go around the panel and we each talk about two films that are kind of within our category that we're discussing tonight. And we talk about how they're related to each other, even tangentially, and how they might be a good pairing to show in a public setting. Sound good?
It does.
Sounds good.
All right, so as our guest, Chelsea, you want to go first with your double feature?
I do not.
Her double feature got kidnapped. It's been absconded with and abducted. It's being held for hostage. If you ever want to see your double feature again, put $50,000 in unmarked bills in the old oak tree.
Up to $50,000.
Up to $50,000. Why do I keep going with 50,000? Is that like the amount I'm in debt?
Is that how much money you need, man?
All right, so Sean, give us your double feature.
You're a very modest kidnapper.
Yeah. 50,000, that's it.
All right, so my double feature, I picked two films that feature Chloe Grace Moretz in it.
Mm-hmm.
The first one is called Not Forgotten from 2009. And this one stars Simon Baker, who you would know from the TV series The Mentalist.
Yeah, I like Simon Baker.
And it also has Paz Vega in it. And
I don't know Paz Vega. What is he from?
It's a woman. Oh. A very beautiful Latino
woman.
Paz Vega. The Mentalist and Paz Vega's kid, Chloe Grace Moretz, gets kidnapped, and the tangled La Santa Muerta web unfolds. It's
The Saint of Death.
Unbelievably bad and a bit racist.
So I also like the fact that their characters were named The Mentalist and Paz Vega.
No, I just went with what I recognized. So yeah, she gets kidnapped, and from the very beginning, they play it off as if it's a straight-up kidnapping, and they're trying to find these bad people. They're on a border town, so they really play up the whole Mexicans are bad angle. And I thought it was kind of interesting the way they played it, because it's relevant today still.
Right.
Some, you know.
And what year is it from?
2009.
2009,
yeah, okay. Some 11 years later that still kind of resonates. And I'll just say that it goes a little deeper than that. Both parents are not as innocent in this plot as it would seem.
Interesting.
It's not good, though.
Okay.
I do not recommend this film. So I'm following that up.
Could have been made better.
Yes.
So in the remake.
Yeah. Okay. If you want to remake this, you go right ahead. I'm going to follow it up with 2018's Greta. And this stars Isabel Huppert, Chloe Grace Moretz, and Micah Moore. Is that how you pronounce her name?
Micah Moore.
Micah Monroe.
She was in It Follows.
Yes.
I actually shopped her for this episode.
I really liked her in this movie, too. She plays the friend, the best friend. And in a nutshell, the plot is Isabel Huppert's character is a kindly French woman, at least she plays off as a French woman, who
leaves her green leather handbag on the subway, mm-hmm. and a very conscientious young girl grabs it and says, "Oh, miss, you've left mm-hmm. your..." Or actually, she looks up her address in the purse and brings it to her.
Yeah. And that's how she lures them in.
She lures them in. It's a very spider web mm-hmm. kind of thing where they come to her, and she's a very kindly woman who's lonely, who doesn't have a lot socially going for herself, but she's interesting. And so Chloe's character kind of befriends her, and they hang out, and they're just, you know, she's really cool. And then she stumbles across this cabinet in her house that has several green purses,
mm-hmm.
and they all have different post-it notes in there. And basically she's trying to abduct and kidnap the girl that she's befriended.
Yes.
And from there, it becomes a tale of getting her out of the situation, I guess. And yeah. that's where the best friend comes into play. And I think she's quite good.
Very nice.
I liked it. I recommend that one. It's a kind of as a kidnapping movie goes, the story structure is a lot different from what you'd expect because it's a long play to get to the actual kidnapping.
So you said that you saw my review of it. What did I say
your star review. I didn't. Okay. I saw your rating, rather.
What did I give it?
Like 3.5 or something.
3.5. That's fair.
Yeah, I like it. It was a good one.
All right, so I'm going with a Halle Berry Halle. Luya, holla back, I'll recast you. It's a Halle Berry double feature. Within 4 years, she made two kidnapping movies. The first one is called The Call from 2013. It was directed by Brad Anderson. He also has directed The Machinist, Trans-Siberian, and Stonehurst Asylum. A veteran operator for an emergency call center, Jordan, played by Halle Berry, saves lives daily as part of her job. But when a young woman's frantic report of a prowler ends tragically, Jordan is devastated. She decides to pack it in on the front lines and instead teach others the ropes of her high-pressure job. But when a call from a kidnapped teen, played by Abigail Breslin, comes in, Jordan takes charge as never before and turns the girl into a partner in helping to save her life. So basically, she's a call operator, an emergency call center operator, and she has this trauma. And she goes from that into helping people learn like self-defense and things like that. But then she gets a call where she overhears this kidnapping and it becomes like her mission, which... Halle Berry comes back and follows it up with Kidnap, very on-the-nose title.
What's this movie about?
2017. It's got a 38% on Rotten Tomatoes. Not quite as good as the 45% that The Call has. But it was directed by Louis Pietro, and his only other English-language movie is the movie Pusher.
Is that about drugs?
A typical afternoon in the park turns into a nightmare for single mother Carla Dyson, when kidnappers snatch her young son, Frankie. With no cell phone and no time to wait for the police, Dyson jumps in her car to follow the vehicle that holds Frankie. As the pursuit turns into a frantic high-speed chase, Carla must risk everything and push herself to the limit to save her beloved child. So it's two movies where Halle Berry kicks it into high gear to save those kidnapping victims.
I've seen the first one.
I think I've seen both of them.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. I'm pretty sure I've seen the first
one. I've seen the first one, not the second one.
With that, is it time to get into our feature segment?
It is.
All right. So we're going with the recast. This is a fun one where we hypothetically recast one of the movies within our subject at hand with contemporary actors. And the first one is called The Vanishing from 1993. And it was directed by George Sluizer, S-L-U-I-Z-E-R. And he also directed the previous 1988 version of this movie, the Dutch version, that was called Sproeloos. So Before we get into the actual premise of the movie, Sean, tell us what the bearing is on this.
I requested this movie specifically because when I was in college, I wanted to go see a movie one night, and I specifically remember asking in the school cafeteria my now wife, Allie, I said, does anybody want to go see a movie with me? Mm-hmm. And she said, yeah, I'm not doing anything. Sure. So it was the first movie we saw together.
It wasn't a date.
No, we were just friends. Uh-huh. But to make it weird, we were the only ones in the theater.
And then you kidnapped her.
And then I kidnapped her and she became my wife.
It really paid off, man. You're like, I'm going to take her to South Carolina where nobody know no different. So the basic premise is that Barney, played by Jeff Bridges, is a disturbed man, also a chemistry professor at a local college, intent
That's
on a...
racist.
No.
It's prejudice.
It's occupationist.
Intent on abducting a woman. After numerous failed attempts, he manages to kidnap young Diane, played by Sandra Bullock, who is on vacation with her boyfriend, Jeff, played by Kiefer Sutherland. As time passes, Jeff remains determined to find out what happened to Diane. When Barney unexpectedly confronts Jeff, it leads to a tense life-or-death situation. Meanwhile, Jeff's current girlfriend, Rita, played by Nancy Travis, no relation, manages to follow him in hopes of keeping him out of harm. That's kind of glossing over a lot of things.
Sure.
First of all, Jeff Bridges' waning German accent throughout the film. I think that when he was trying to abduct women, maybe he was putting on an American accent or not doing a German accent. That's the only that's the only cred I can give him on that accent.
Yeah, but at the same time, something about his performance struck me as a guy who was kind of maybe touched in the head.
Yeah,
even though he was really intelligent.
Well, he talks about his fall off of the roof when
it's
he was
been
a
years
kid.
Since I've seen this. So yeah. It stays with me though.
I rewatched it very recently for in preparation.
Okay,
so. He is, like we said, he's a weirdo. He's obsessed with kidnapping someone. The very opening scene, he's testing formaldehyde.
Chloroform.
Yep. On himself.
Oh, my God.
Exactly.
He's a terrible chemist.
Yeah, and he has a stopwatch that he's timing himself with. And
when
he wakes up,
yeah.
I wonder how that works, though, because you set the stopwatch, then you put on the chloroform. What's gonna hit the button when you pass out?
Exactly.
No, I thought he's
holding the button.
No, I thought
it's not a grenade.
I thought he was hitting the button when he wakes up.
And to see how long he
stays
for?
Under. Yeah.
Okay, maybe. Okay, so he is intent on abducting someone. He tries and tries. It doesn't work. Kiefer Sutherland and Sandra Bullock are on a vacation in the mountains.
They go to a Mega Mart, 7-Eleven type place.
Yes, and they're already having kind of an argument because they had run out of gas.
Right.
And he goes in to pay for gas. She goes to buy drinks. He comes back out. She's gone.
Yep.
And 3 years pass by, and he's still obsessed. He's still devoted, looking for her, and he is wasted ass drunk in a restaurant one night, and Nancy Travis, who's a waitress at that restaurant, insists that he not drive home and that he sleep in the back of the restaurant. He sleeps in dry storage. He wakes up the next day and a little while passes again. Now they are a live-in couple in Seattle. Okay? And then he gets contacted by Barney, Jeff Bridges' character, because Barney realizes that because he sees that her wanted posters, not her wanted posters,
missing posters. It becomes a Western all of a sudden.
Are covered up by other flyers at the college.
Yeah.
He's like, oh, well, he's losing interest. So he contacts him. And then it becomes a spider and fly, a cat and mouse situation.
Yeah. The cool thing about the film is where he takes him through the process of what
he says, if you want
did,
to know what yeah. happened to her, you have to experience everything that she experienced.
Yeah.
And he's standing firm on that line. He will not budge at all. So that's a pretty spoiler-free examination and recount of that movie. We're going to go ahead and get into the roles we're recasting. First up, we've got Barney Cousins, played by Jeff Bridges. Jeff Bridges was 44 at the time. He looked a lot like his older brother, Beau Bridges, in this movie, I thought. I think he put on weight for the role and had a little bit of the Beau double chin going on.
Yeah.
Then we also have Kiefer Sutherland playing Jeff Harriman. He's an author who is struggling, and his later in the movie, his publisher wants him to write a book about this ordeal, and he's reluctant. Then we've got Rita Baker, played by Nancy Travis, no relation, and she's the supportive new girlfriend. But she's only supportive to a point.
Yeah, I mean, come on.
Yeah. And then finally, we've got Sandra Bullock playing Diane Shaver, who is the abductee. Very limited screen time for Sandra Bullock. Fairly early in her career as well. All right, so who you got for Jeff Bridges?
All right, let's see. Mr. Jeff Bridges, 44 years old. I went with an actor who's 43 years old. He can be seen most recently in Motherless Brooklyn.
Mm-hmm.
He also had a part in Santa Clarita Diet. But more people will remember him for his comedic work in some Kevin Smith films, as well as his part in American History X, which was pretty terrifying. His name is Ethan Suplee.
Ethan Suplee.
A.K.A. Right. Lunchbox.
Yeah, he was in My Name is Earl also.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like him. I actually thought about him for a different role.
Really?
Yeah, Ethan Weird. Suplee showed up. It might have been an age thing.
Okay.
All right, so my actor, you already saw my picture, so this is not going to be a surprise to you, but it will be to the listeners. He's 55 now. There's a bit of an age gap. But he was in River's Edge with the aforementioned Keanu Reeves. He was in What's Eating Gilbert Grape. He's very good on the TV show American Gods. Is that a Showtime show?
Yep.
Playing Mr. World. And most people would know him as George McFly in Back to the Future. I went with Crispin Glover.
Good pick.
I think it's perfect casting. Just the right element of creepiness.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Yep.
All right, next up, we've got Kiefer Sutherland playing Jeff Harriman, who was 27 at the time. Who did you pick for this, Sean?
Well, he's going to have to put on an American accent for this role, but I went with a 30-year-old
mm-hmm.
who was in England Is Mine,
okay,
Caliber, Dunkirk, and he was most recently, at least on my radar, was in Fighting With My Family as the brother, Zach. His name is Jack Loudon.
Jack Loudon. I looked at him too.
Really?
This is That's crazy. Weird. We haven't had any overlap yet, but we've definitely shopped some of the same people.
Okay.
My actor is 30 now as well. He's also going to... No, he's not. He's not going to do a American accent. He's going to be British because he started his career on EastEnders.
Okay.
He's also on a TV show I've been watching lately called Avenue 5.
Yeah,
he's a very bleak stand-up comic.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
He's in a movie called Aeronauts, and he's in a film that we all love called Yesterday. His name is Himesh Patel.
Himesh Patel
is going to be...
He's so good.
I already said it, so drink twice.
Do it twice.
I love his most recent episode of Avenue 5 where he has that stand-up comedy
during the shitstorm
that just yes. fails. Just yeah. the utter failure.
I think I'm up to date. Is that the most recent yeah. episode? Okay, yeah, I think I'm up to date. All right, next up, we've got Nancy Travis, no relation. She was 32 at the time playing Rita Baker. And who's your Baker's Dozen?
I went with a 29-year-old actress from Milwaukee, Wisconsin.
Mm-hmm.
And she has some parts in The Finest Hours, Patriot's Day, and House of Cards. But most people will know her as the Golden Globe Award-winning marvelous Mrs. Maisel.
Oh, yeah.
Rachel Brosnahan.
Really thought about her too. This is crazy.
That's nuts.
Yeah, it's nuts. I think that Sean might have hacked my OneNote.
He probably did.
reviewing my notes, I also
Cheater.
Think
I was trying to kidnap his picks.
I also Ooh. Think that's how Hillary is so good at trivia. Next, my pick for Rita Baker. Nancy Travis was 32 at the time, and I thought about Nancy Travis, and I thought about how, even though she's not country, she's from New York, she's played several kind of Southern country characters. As a matter of fact, she was the female lead on the Bill Ingvall show, which is where Jennifer Lawrence got her start. I did not pick Jennifer Lawrence, though. Instead, I picked a girl from Texas who is on, she's 30 now. She was on Pretty Little Liars. She was on Scream, the TV series, and that's good because she's going to need to scream in mm-hmm. this role. She's also in a movie called Premature and an upcoming movie, or maybe currently out, called The Blazing World. Her name is Carlson Young. Carlson Young is cool. my pick for the Nancy Travis role of Rita Baker. Finishing it out, we've got America's sweetheart, Sandra Bullock, playing Diane Shaver. And like I said, limited screen time. She gets abducted very early. Not going to reveal her fate.
Will you tell me at intermission?
Yes.
Okay.
I'll go first with this one because you've gone first for all the rest.
Sure.
Just for you, baby.
Thanks.
Sandra Bullock was 29. My actress is also 29. She was in Spanglish. She's in a movie called Cougars Incorporated. She's in a movie called See You in Valhalla. And most people know her as Haley Dunphy on Modern Family. I went with Sarah Hyland.
I shopped her too.
Yeah, it's weird, dude.
That's crazy, man. Well, for my pick, I went with a 28-year-old who it was also on Pretty Little Liars.
Hmm.
And she was on The Final Girls.
Oh, I like that movie.
And as a little teaser for next week's episode, she was in the very, very bad Logan Paul movie, Airplane Mode.
Oh, you just watched that?
I just watched it, and I'll talk more about that next week. But she was probably the bright spot in that film. Her name is Chloe Bridges.
Chloe Bridges. No relation to Jeff Bridges?
No, but
there's fun. A connection there.
Fun, yeah.
There's a connection. All right. Billy Bridges. So anything else we need to say about this film?
It's worth a watch, I think. You watched it more recently than me, so how...
I watched it. I think
how did it
that
age?
It reminded me a little bit of that, oh, what's his name? Kurt Russell, called like Wrong Turn or Turnaround or U-Turn or something like that, where yeah. Kiefer Sutherland is the bad guy.
Yeah.
And I think that I meshed those together in my okay. head. But watching it, I enjoyed a lot of the characters' early performances. I think that when I reviewed it, I gave it a solid 3.5 stars.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, worth a watch.
Cool.
Have you seen it?
No, that's why you're going to give me spoilers.
Spoilers! All right, so with that, we're going to go ahead and head into intermission. But not before we say,
let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the lobby and get ourselves
an ear in an envelope.
Ooh.
And a ransom.
And spoilers.
All right, Chop Shoppers, thank you for bearing with us during intermission. This is your host, Travis, and I just have one question for you, Sean. What is one way we could make our podcast more prominent?
Oh, if our listeners would rate and review us on iTunes.
Rate, review, and subscribe to us
oh, yeah, subscribe.
On iTunes.
And pin your friends down and force them to do it.
Make them go ahead and do a review. We're very under reviewed.
Like make it a whole pyramid scheme. Get the people under them yeah. to do it. And multiply
a podsy scheme.
Ooh, I like it.
Yes. You folks who are listening right now, it would be fantastic if while you're listening or right after, you don't have to stop the show. Don't stop the show. But if afterwards you could go to iTunes and give us a review or a rating, that would be awesome as well. Or on whatever podcatcher app it is that you're listening to us. We're on a few of them. And also, be aware of our online presence. We have a Facebook page. It's facebook.com/cinemachopshop. We're hosted natively online on Podbean. It's Cinema Chop Shop on Podbean. And our Twitter handle is @CinemaChopShop. We do a lot of stuff on there, like our movie marathon, where Sean consistently kicks my ass. Also, our email address is cinemachopshop@gmail.com. You can email us anytime. We check it frequently. The beers that we check in after intermission, you're about to find out about some, are always checked in on Untappd. That's UNTAPPD. And we are Cinema Chop Shop on there. Once again, thank you to you, the listeners. Thank you for tuning in. And enjoy the rest of the show.
And now, on with the show.
All right, welcome back, Chop Shoppers. Thank you for bearing with us during intermission. I just had to make some icicles in the yard. And when we come back from intermission, we like to do a beer check-in. What do we have this week, Sean?
Well, we couldn't come up with an on-theme beer, so I just pulled something from stock. It's the...
From Stockholm Syndrome?
From Stockholm. No, from my personal stash. This is 2017's Goose Island Bourbon County Stout, but it is the coffee stout version.
Okay. Well, you abducted this beer from across county lines?
I guess so.
It's a little bit of a stretch. We had an on-theme beer, but it got kidnapped.
Chelsea, would you like some?
Sure, I'll try it. Not my favorite style, but...
Well, it is cold outside, so this is...
Yeah, that's kind of what I'm thinking.
That might warm you up a little bit.
And we're going to enjoy that. And while we do, we're going to talk about our 2020 movie marathon. And this is an exercise in diligence and fortitude where whoever wants to participate watches as many movies as they can throughout the calendar year. The goal being 365, sometimes above and beyond. And we check those in on Twitter with the hashtag 2020 movie marathon, at least for this year. And next year, it'll change to the 1984 movie marathon. Just joking. 2021 movie marathon. So like I said, we try to check them in. We give a review. We give a rating. And do you know what your first check-in is this week, Sean?
Oh, yes. You would ask. I watched on the Criterion Channel Jason and the Argonauts.
Okay. From what year?
Love that movie.
It's 1963.
I remember watching this in high school history class.
I'm more familiar with the Seven Voyages of Sinbad, but it's still Ray Harryhausen.
Not as historical.
No, of course not. But it's, you know, Ray Harryhausen is the visual effects mastermind, the master of stop motion animation.
Yes.
And I was, as a kid, I was, this is what I put in my review, as a child, I was too young to realize how much the original Clash of the Titans borrowed from Jason.
Big time.
Mm-hmm. I think as a kid, I'd only seen like the finale where the skeletal warriors come up from the ground.
You were still a kid. You hadn't yet to release the Kraken.
So I went back and watched the whole thing. And there are, shot for shot, like the way they portrayed the Greek gods in Jason, it's the exact same way as they presented them in the original Clash of the Titans. And, of course, Ray Harryhausen was on Clash of the Titans as well for the stop-motion animation there.
So how hairy was his housing?
It's a very hairy housing. So, anyway, it's cool. I mean, it in today's terms, I mean, it's not great special effects, but as far as practical stop-motion animation goes, the guy was a master. I mean, to take a claymation statue and make it look like a bronze sculpture that was moving.
Yeah.
Just mind-blowing stuff. So.
And completely practical effects.
Yep.
Take a note, filmmakers of today. All right, so my first check-in for this week is going to be number 54, and it's called Come As You Are. Did you watch this, Sean?
Remind me of the content and the plot.
Three disabled dudes travel to a brothel in Canada that caters to people like them to lose their virginity. Very funny and touching, if you know what I mean.
I'm really looking forward to watching it, so yes.
It's good. It's, like I said, it's a road trip movie. It is
coming-of-age movie.
Coming-of-age, a fellowship movie. It was not quite as good as Peanut Butter Falcon, but in that ballpark.
Okay.
Peanut Butter Falcon! Next.
Well, speaking of Peanut Butter Falcon.
Yes.
Did you see my Twitter?
No. Tell me.
Oh, Rude. I got the best present.
Was it a... What was it? Tell me.
It was a peanut butter falcon.
Oh, from who?
Sean carved a peanut butter friggin' falcon for me.
How is this a thing? Was it like the Maltese falcon carved out of peanut butter?
Kind of.
Oh, here, I'll show it to you. It was the greatest moment of my life, basically.
Can I just say that peanut butter is not the best sculpting material?
No, it's got to be frozen in order to actually work with it. Fan-fucking-tastic.
I know, right?
It actually looks a lot like the Maltese falcon. You did a good job, dude. Fucking artists. All right, what's your next check-in?
All right, so I'm going to check in. To all the boys, P.S., I still love you. This is the sequel to the film To All the Boys I've Loved Before. Both of these are Netflix films. This stars Lana Condor. As with most sequels, it doesn't retain the same magic, but Lana Condor, at age 23, still convincingly pulls off the high school sweetheart role with a lot of charm.
Peanut Butter Condor.
Mm. That's all I'll say about it.
All right, fair enough. My next one is number 55, and it's called Queen and Slim. Queen and Slim, it's critically acclaimed, but not really recognized by the Academy Awards this year. A Thelma and Louise style movie for 21st century Black Americans. Daniel Kaluuya from Get Out.
Okay.
As well as Jodie Turner-Smith are stunning. The chemistry between them is amazing. There is a not safe for work scene in a car, just so you know.
Gotcha.
Hot.
Great bit parts from Chloe Sevigny. Chloe
Sevigny?
Sevigny.
Sevigny?
Also Flea. Flea is in there. And Sturgill Simpson plays the police officer who is the catalyst for the whole having to go on the lam scenario. That's all I'm going to say about the plot of the movie, but it was fucking fantastic.
Okay. I've been curious about the quality, so cool. I'm going to take a completely different angle on quality, and I'm going to check in Tammy and the T-Rex.
Okay. Now, tell us more.
This is from 1994. It stars Denise Richards and Paul Walker.
Okay.
In which Paul Walker...
He's like 11 years old? What's going
no,
on?
No, they're high school teens. He is incapacitated in some way, and this mad scientist transports his brain into a mechanical T-Rex. And Denise Richards still loves him no matter what.
Yeah, I mean, that's the story of unconditional love right there.
But
I would love you even if you were a T-Rex.
It is a rough movie, and it will double feature very well with Velocipastor.
Velocipastor.
Yeah.
Nice.
I liked the ending. I was, you know, unfortunate enough to catch the last, 20 minutes of this.
Does he
What a shit
her?
Show. What a fucking shit show that was.
Don't spoil the ending, please.
I'm
Seems
not
like
going
he
to.
Would eat her. That would be the end of the movie, right?
Oh, my God.
So, my last check-in is going to be related to the theme of this episode. It's called All the Money in the World. And technically, it's a 2017 movie, even though a lot of us haven't been able to see it until very recently, because it was originally shot with Kevin Spacey in the lead role as J. Paul Getty. But, of course, all of the scandals surrounding him and all the other motherfuckers... caused the movie to be reshot with Christopher Plummer in the lead role, which I feel, knowing what J. Paul Getty looked like, I think Christopher Plummer is a better casting in the first place.
Right.
But it's the true story of the kidnapping of J. Paul Getty's grandson in 1973 and how he lowballed the ransom.
Wow.
Christopher Plummer was spot on. Can't imagine it with Kevin Spacey.
Okay.
So it's a recommend for me. I gave it like 4 stars.
Cool.
So anything you've seen recently, Chelsea, that you want to shout out? What's your most recent check-in on the 2020 movie marathon?
I put it down like on my OneNote list, but I'm bad at checking it in on Twitter.
So I just want to point out to the listeners that several episodes ago, I invited Chelsea to participate in the 2020 movie marathon, and she said, "Do you want to lose?"
Well, yeah, I'm a big talker. Yeah, but yeah,
her bark is worse than her bite.
Absolutely. But the most recent one I watched was Comic Book Confidential, which really came in handy for trivia.
Nice.
So thank you.
In what way?
The Robert Crumb question.
Yes.
Ah, literally. Very good. Very good. All right. So with that, we're going to go into the second part of our feature segment. It is the recast continued.
Part 2.
The sequel. And for the second movie, we're going to go with a film from 2002. It's called Trapped from...
2002.
It's got an 18% on Rotten Tomatoes, which I think is low.
I think it's criminally low.
Yeah. And it was directed by Luis Mandoki, who's a Mexican director, but some of his English language films include Message in a Bottle, When a Man Loves a Woman, and Angel Eyes.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so he's got a thing.
Mixed bag.
So the basic premise, when Will, played by Stuart Townsend, and Karen, played by Charlize Theron, Jennings, are held hostage, and their daughter... Dakota Fanning is
Happy
abducted.
Happy birthday, Dakota Fanning, on the day this episode will go kerplunk. It's her birthday.
It's her birthday. That's really coincidental.
Yes.
So she's abducted by these guys, and the real wrench in the works is that she has asthma. So she's abducted by Kevin Bacon and Courtney Love, playing Joe and Cheryl Hickey. And they're also assisted by their cousin Marvin, played by Pruitt Taylor Vince, who was the, do you remember when we watched Identity for Mindfuck movies?
Yeah.
He was the serial killer that everything was happening in his brain.
Oh, he's great.
Yeah, he's really good.
He's a really cool actor. Actually, he's the one that inspired me to make the recast for The Vanishing. I compare Lunchbox to him quite a bit in my mind.
So they've orchestrated a foolproof plan to extort money from wealthy families. As the plan escalates and unravels, Will and Karen are pushed to the limit to get their daughter back alive. What else? You watched it recently?
Yeah, I, as I said in my review, you know, the plot points were pretty predictable, but I think the cast made this movie a lot more enjoyable than it probably should have been. I liked it. I enjoyed it, even though I knew what was happening and what was coming down the pipeline. I thought it was fine. It was a good
play. I honestly do not know why I have this movie on DVD, but I do.
Yeah.
As our Instagram followers will know. All right, so let's talk about the roles that we're going to recast. We've got Joe Hickey. He's the main kidnapper, played by Kevin Bacon. We've got his girlfriend slash wife, Cheryl Hickey, played by a dirty glory hole in Amsterdam.
Yes.
Courtney Love. We've got the father of the abducted girl, played by Stuart Townsend, and his name is Dr. Will Jennings.
Ooh,
we've got Karen Jennings, his wife, the mother, who's... she undergoes a lot in this movie as well, in this whole ordeal. Not only just being the mother of the child who's taken, she has to interact with the kidnappers. And then we've got the girl, Abby Jennings, who was played by Dakota Fanning, who was only 8 years old at the time. One of her earliest roles.
Yep.
Going with the first role, Joe Hickey, played by Kevin Bacon, 44 at the time. Who you got?
I'm picking an actor who will be 45 later this year. I don't know. I wanted to see this guy play a sleazy, slimy role. Because, you know, Kevin Bacon always played likable parts.
Mostly, yeah.
I mean, but when he plays a villain, he is good. He
gets into
it. Right. I mean, Invisible Man, or no, what was the Invisible Man?
Hollow Man.
Hollow Man, thank you. The movie where he raped a girl and there were no repercussions whatsoever.
Because he was hollow.
Have you seen The Woodsman? With him and Kira Sedgwick.
Is that based on the Snow White thing?
Snow White and the Huntsman?
No, this is way friggin' dark.
So he did a creepy movie with his wife?
Yes. And he, like, one of the most unthinkable crimes, like, that you could commit.
Okay. Well, then.
Marital rape.
So.
No.
That said, I wanted to cast someone who was, for the most part, a very likable, squeaky, clean kind of actor. So I went with a guy who's been in the movie Brothers, Wonder Boys, Pleasantville, and Spider-Man.
Mm-hmm.
I went with Tobey Maguire.
Toby. Your name is Toby. Tobey Maguire could use a role right now, so that would help him out.
Yeah, he's not up to... Is he up to anything right now?
I don't think so.
Let's see. No, he's taking a break.
My actor is also 44. He was in Final Destination. He was in Road Trip. He was in Goon and Goon 2, The Last of the Enforcers.
Uh-oh.
He's in an upcoming movie called Already Gone, which sounds like a kidnapping movie. I'm not sure. He's also Stifler in American Pie. His name is Sean William Scott.
I shopped him.
Crazy town. Weird. Crazy town, dude. But look at him in that new movie.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, he could totally pull this shit off.
Cool, I like that.
All right, next up, we've got a hole in the wall. Her name is Cheryl Hickey. Played by Courtney Love. She was 38 at the time. And I'll give you my pick first.
Go ahead.
Is that cool?
Yeah.
My actress is 27 now. She's a little bit younger. She was in Gossip Girl. She was in Hansel and Gretel. She's in Spy Kids 2. She was in How the Grinch Stole Christmas.
Oh, good. I love this pick.
She's also the leader of the band The Pretty Reckless. Her name is Taylor Momsen. Taylor Momsen.
Cool.
Did you also pick Taylor Momsen?
No, I didn't.
What did you pick?
Well, I searched for actresses that have been accused of killing their husbands, and I couldn't find any living, so
yeah,
I scratched that off my list. So I wanted to upgrade this role. I wanted to go with an actress that I think could elevate this part to a new level, but kind of keep that same kind of loose grip on keeping it together. You know, I think that's what Courtney Love did bring to the part, but I think that this actress could do it a little bit better. She's been in Zootopia, Secret Life of Pets,
yes,
Gifted, and Obvious Child. I went with Jenny Slate.
Jenny Slate is the shit, dude.
I think Jenny Slate would be awesome.
Yeah,
in this
that
role.
Would be.
I don't know
a
how
very,
I feel about this.
Very interesting performance from her.
Picture her being paired up with Tobey Maguire, too, as the couple.
Oh, it's weird.
Yeah.
I don't know
it's
if I like it.
Real weird, man. It's a weird movie, though.
Yeah, exactly. You got to see this movie to understand the connections. Everything seems real tenuous.
All right, next up, we've got Tuart Stout. Tuart.
Rewind.
Tuart Townsend. Stuart Townsend, who is playing Dr. Will Jennings.
Now, see, he wasn't in a whole lot that was recognizable other than
The League of Extraordinary Gentlemen, which we talked about recently. He played
Dorian Gray. And he was also Lestat in Queen of the Damned.
Oh, no shit.
Yeah.
All right. That's cool. R.I.P. to Aaliyah.
What the hell was that?
He's flashing signs over here, folks.
So, your pick?
It's kind of hard to follow that.
I know, right?
This is an audio medium, folks.
All right, so, I wanted, anyway, I went with someone who was 30 years old. This guy needs to break out of his current mold because he's stuck in DC Comics superhero land. He's been in the Supergirl TV series. He's been in the Arrow TV series, but he's known in his lead role in Flash. It's Grant Gustin.
Didn't you do a Flash thing last week?
No, not at all. No, I cast him years ago.
Years ago.
When we first started. But he does have a little bit of face value. A
little bit, yeah.
And he needs something else to do.
He was on Glee.
That's right.
Wonderful on Glee.
He was in Glee.
He's not the one who... Never mind. So my actor is 30 now. He got his start as a very young actor in Shanghai Nights. He's also... He played Charlie Chaplin. A young Charlie Chaplin in Shanghai Nights. He's in The Illusionist. He's in Nowhere Boy as John Lennon. He's also in Outlaw King, and he's in the upcoming movie from director of Dark Knight,
Christopher Nolan.
Christopher Nolan movie Tenet. His name is Aaron Taylor Johnson. Aaron Taylor Johnson is going to be my Stuart Townsend.
There's some face value there, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Dr. Will Jennings.
Okay, cool. You know, he was probably my least favorite character in the movie, too.
Yeah, he's a little bit ineffectual.
Yeah. Until the very end.
Yeah. All right, next up, we've got my girl, Charlize Theron.
These are big shoes to fill, folks.
Playing Karen Jennings, which is actually an anagram of Charlize Theron. Look it up. who did you pick?
All right, Charlize was 28 at the time. I wanted to go with another 28-year-old. It was neat seeing her in this part because she had been in some films before, but she had not quite reached the heights that she has now. But you could still see a lot of her strength come through. So that's kind of what was the guiding light behind what I used on my
Also, pick. The guiding light is Sean's favorite soap opera.
And my mom's. I went with an actress who was in Murder on the Orient Express.
Yes.
And some films that you might have heard called Star Wars. I picked Daisy Ridley.
Daisy!
I think she could be the next powerful actress, and she needs something to do now because she's done.
Ridley's Believe It or Not. All right, my pick is 24 now. She was in Lady Macbeth. She was in Outlaw King with Aaron Taylor Johnson. She's also in a little movie called Midsommar.
Oh.
And Little Woman. Her name is Florence Pugh.
Florence Pugh
is going to be my pick for the Charlize Theron character.
I like that one too.
I think that she is very, very talented, and we're going to see huge things from Florence
Pugh. Yeah, I think that she's right on the edge of busting out big time.
All right, we got one more, right?
Yep.
That is the little girl, and 8 years old is really hard to recast.
Tough.
Yeah. So Dakota Fanning was 8 years old at the time. She was adorable. But she had asthma, which adds an extra element of danger to the abduction situation. I'll give you my pick first.
Go for it.
Is that cool?
Yep, please.
All right, so my pick is 10 years old now. I'm with the 10-year-old. It's okay. It's fine.
I did too.
She's got two movie credits. One is a TV movie called Babs. The other is a movie that I actually have seen. It was on Netflix. It's called The Guernsey Literary and Potato Peel Pie Society.
The hell?
Her name is Florence Keene. Another Florence.
Oh.
Okay.
I see the face value for sure.
For sure.
Oh. Okay.
Who's your pick?
I went with a 10-year-old as well. She has a movie coming up called Sarah, in which she plays the titular character, but it stars Virginia Madsen of some horror movie fame.
It's the movie adaptation of the song, Hey, Sarah, Sarah.
Wow, he really missed an opportunity, didn't he?
He really did. I'm so depressed. I thought you were going to say Jefferson Starship, Sarah.
Nope.
Right?
That's depressing. Anyway,
it looks like a scary movie. It says evil has a new name, Sarah.
I'm more of a Jefferson Airplane fan.
Well, so am I, but I love all of their adaptations.
But with two T's.
And... And she was in The Florida Project.
Oh, I love this.
It's Valeria Cotto.
Yes, dude. Yes. So good.
Yeah, she's a
you
good,
win that drink. One.
She's a good little actress.
You win it. And I am going to drink.
It's tough to find young child talent, and I don't envy... I do not envy any casting director that has to cast children.
Can we just isolate the sound clip where Sean says it's tough to find young talent?
I would recast Holden.
Can I say it real creepy? You know, it's tough to find young talent.
That's coming from inside a windowless van. All right, so that will wrap us up for... What else do we need to say about Trapped? Recommend?
You know what? Despite its low Rotten Tomatoes...
I'm giving it a recommend.
I would watch it. It's okay. Yeah. There's nothing wrong with this movie. I'm surprised
it's... Solid cast.
I'm surprised it's not like reruns on TBS, TNT, USA Network, you know?
And you hadn't even heard of it.
No, never.
Yeah. All right, so Chelsea?
I'm going to watch it, so I guess that's a recommend.
Get back to us.
Yeah.
Bonus segment.
Boner segment.
No. But okay.
Boner segment.
Boner killer segment.
Oh, no.
It's a battle royale. Excuse me. It's a boner royale between Captain Kidd, Billy the Kid versus Jason Kidd, Kidnapped Edition. And as our guest, Chelsea, you have to go first.
Why?
Because you're our guest.
I'm going to go... with none of them and choose Kid Cudi.
Oh shit, drop the mic. Don't actually drop that mic.
It's I'm not going to.
Very expensive. Sean?
Who's Kid Cudi?
Oh my
you don't
God.
Know who Kid Cudi is?
I've played Kid Cudi for you. You have asked this before.
Sean just revealed to the audience that he's super old.
I'm 100 years old.
Kid Cudi's the shit. In fact, he was the shit like 10 years ago.
And but he's less the shit now,
but he's still the shit.
I'm going to go with Jason Kidd because he'd be dropping them threes.
He does drop them threes. He's also one of our one of our brothers of the pasty denomination who can play basketball.
That's right.
So
we hold tight.
Yes. I'm going with Captain Kidd. That pirate motherfucker's going to kill Air One for reals. All right, so we want to wrap it up. I want to thank the guests.
Thank you, Chelsea, for being here,
even though you've been in hoodie the full
duration. It's so cold.
And also, do you have anything you want to plug?
Trivia, as always.
Right answers with wrong Travis. And also, I want to thank my co-host, the engineer, the editor. Nothing would happen without him. Thank you, Sean.
You got it.
And do you know what next week's episode is?
Airplane movies.
Airplane movies. So I do have a trivia question about airplane movies. And... this will be a free sneak preview question and answer on the next edition of Right Answers with Wrong Travis. And the question is, only one airline bought the rights to the 1980 film Airplane for its in-flight entertainment. What was that airline?
TWA.
Incorrect.
Damn it.
Chelsea, what's your pick?
Delta.
Delta. I knew you were going to say that. In fact, it was Aeroméxico. And for our gringo listeners, that's Air Mexico.
Oh, God.
All right. We want to plug the podcast itself. Please remember to rate, review, and subscribe to us on whatever type of podcatcher app it is that you're listening to us on. We're on the internet. We're hosted natively online at Podbean. It's Cinema Chop Shop on Podbean. You can find us on Twitter. We tweet from at Cinema Chop Shop. And also, we're on Facebook at Cinema Chop Shop on there. And our Gmail email is cinemachopshop@gmail.com. You can email us anytime. We're very under-emailed, so please email us more shit. And the beers that we checked in today will be checked in on Untappd. That's UNTAPPD. It's kind of like a social network for beer drinkers. We're Cinema Chop Shop on there. Check us out on that. Finally, farewell to you, the listeners. Thank you for tuning in, and please remember to watch, chop, and ransom.
And don't get kidnapped.